So let's get down to it then. What do you guys think is going to happen on Saturday? Give me a score prediction, and who do you think is going to win? Yeah, I'm putting you guys on the spot.
Oh, man. Okay, I think, no, Cody said it first. No matter how these teams do outside of this game, once Stanford and USC come together, it's a whole different ballpark. It's a whole different game, and I think that's the same. It's the energy's different.
So you think it's going to be close?
I think it will be for the majority of the game. But I think in the end, USC will get the win. I think it'll be USC somewhere in the 30s and Stanford in the late teens, early 20s.
Connor, hold on. She totally waffled on that. She didn't give me a straight pick. What's the number? You have to give me a number.
Oh, my gosh.
I know this is dumb because predictions in football are really,
But hey, who knows? You never know if you pick the magic number, it could.
Exactly.
You're like, hey,
you
I called
know.
That.
Yeah.
I'm
you
Nostradamus
could say you have
here,
some
okay?
kind of skill.
Yeah. Sure. I want to say I can't add in my head. 33-17.
33-17?
Somewhere around there.
Anyway, I'm not seeing it as close of a game. I just have never had any faith in Stanford's offense ever since Andrew Luck left.
You and a lot of other people.
Right. And so it's always been their defense that's had to carry them.
Right.
And they just don't have any experience or their whole front seven is new besides
they lost a lot
one
of
linebacker.
The front.
They
yeah,
have one
right.
new linebacker or one returning linebacker. So I just think USC is just going to be so much more dominant both on the offensive side of the ball and defensively. They're just going to be able to shut down a Kevin Hogan that just isn't really that capable without Ty Montgomery like we were talking about. Right. So I'm looking at more of a 34-13 game.
Okay. Around there, around the same sphere. All right, let's bring in Ben. What do you think?
I'm going to say it is going to be a close one. Just because of the fact that it is Stanford-USC. I know that doesn't necessarily, just because it's Stanford-USC, just the two schools coming together, the rivals, they're it has to be close, but I see it being close. I don't know. Hogan is coming off his career-high 341-yard game. Granted, it was against UCF, not against USC. But
Cody's coming off his career-high game, too.
Yeah. Very good point.
Against
then also something interesting, just a little Ben stat to throw out there, is last year Cody was held to his fewest yards and his fewest pass attempts against Stanford. Last season, so I don't know if granted, it's not a same Stanford team, but it just shows you what can happen when these two teams come together. I'm guessing a 24-17 game. I'm thinking
touchdown difference.
Yeah, a touchdown difference. I think both teams are going to have opportunities in the red zone, and they're not going to be able to punch it in every single time when they get down there, and they'll have to settle for a field goal. You never know. So, yeah, I'm taking 24-17.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, to your point about Cody having a rough game against the defense last time out, it goes back to what Connor said. They lost a lot of players on the defensive front. And so I think that's going to come back to hurt them. And I think it's weird that we're finally getting to say this now about a USC team, but I think the added depth is going to really create a whole different dynamic in the Stanford game, because Stanford was able to keep up with them by being physical, and USC couldn't pull away because they couldn't come back with fresh players.
Yeah.
They couldn't come back with different rotations, and now that they have that, I think that's going to make the game completely different.
Yeah, that's what makes this USC team so much more exciting than
right.
the team in the past recent years.
I think it changed the culture of USC completely, USC football.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like last season it was okay, well, don't go too hard in practice. Don't tackle too hard because, we might miss, we might injure someone, and that's it. There was this drop-off of talent where it was here's our starters, and then everyone else.
Right.
And I think it changes. I mean, you can see it in practice. Last year, Wednesday practices were in shorts and pads and shoulder pads.
Wow.
Wednesday practices, they practice Tuesday, Wednesday, full pads. And they even do conditioning in practice. And I think it's a whole different mindset of, okay, let's go hard every rep, instead of, hey, let's kind of take it back a little bit because this is all we have.
And it's not even when they're in the full pads, they're just playing two-hand or just wrap up.
They're
hitting, and they're bringing them down.
Definitely.
Isaiah Langley yesterday.
Marvell and Isaiah drilling heads on the diving to get Isaac.
And these are rookies. Yeah. I mean, these are incoming freshmen. So, yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy to see that. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why, it's hardest to buy into, the quote-unquote hype, you know? But I think it's also a lot of people that aren't buying into the hype are kind of ignoring the fact that USC kind of has that depth this year that they hadn't had in years past. You know, it may not be that this is the year, obviously, where everything goes right for them because their schedule is so tough. But I do think that's going to create a whole different culture and everything.
Well, I think that's why I'm looking forward to the Stanford game is because now we're going to see if the depth is useful.
Right.
Because it didn't really matter if they had more players or fresh players because no one was really tired or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll actually see if this depth, this platooning is something that is efficient and will keep them fresh into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot about the tempo, I feel like, as far as the offensive side too, because it's going to be like, are we going to buy into the way Stanford plays, which is a very slow, methodical way of playing? You know, if USC can come in and set the tempo right away from the offense and start just getting the plays down, then I think that's going to be a huge blessing for them in the game and going down into the future as well.
Well, that's a point of concern for me, is that this team, especially the defense, is not one that can stand around and be – it needs to be fast-paced. And
right.
I think if the – and the offense too. If USC slows it down and plays to the offensive – Stanford's offense slow, methodical way, I don't think it will be as the team will
like,
be as
they might pull it out just because of the fact that they have more of the talent. But it's going to be much tougher game if they cannot set their tempo, their
USC can play their own game.
Exactly. So I think for me, I think I see it more like Keeley and Connor over there. I do think USC is going to pull away at some point. It might start off close, it might be tough at first, but once they set that rhythm down, I think they're going to get going. Stanford's offense has looked anemic through the first two games, really bad. And so I think...
Yeah, we'll also finally see if Hogan can ever get a touchdown.
Right,
pass,
he doesn't even have a touchdown
us.
Against USC. Yeah. So that,
it's very possible he'll never have one.
But
just the way their offense looked against Northwestern, I mean...
See, David but Shaw. Hogan is like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad,
that's what Sark said. You know, we can't let Hogan get into a rhythm because once he gets into the rhythm, like he got into a rhythm against UCLA last year, he becomes some sort of other the beast. He just starts going.
If we may, why don't we just do one more Sark bite while we have it?
Sure,
you know, you brought it up.
Sure.
Here's Sark talking about Kevin Hogan.
When he gets hot, it's very, very scary. We saw that at the end of last season. We saw it last week against Central Florida. When he can get going, he just starts to find his rhythm. So it's going to be big for us to try to not allow him to get into that rhythm, to try to keep him as uncomfortable as we can. We have to try to negate some easier throws to make it hard on him. We need to be sticky in the back end. But like anything, he's seen a lot. We're not going to throw a defense out there that he hasn't seen before. But we do need to try to make him as uncomfortable as possible.
Before we get into discussing that, I'd like to point out the fact that Paolo used the word anemic in the middle of a casual sports debate.
Yes.
I like
it. You know, it popped into my head and it applied to context.
Great.
So there it
does. Yeah.
I'm just bringing, I guess, you know, whatever.
Continue.
Yeah. Judge away. So like Sark said, I mean, Kevin
Hogan.
It's
the same pressure
on
him. Yeah. I mean, he can get hot.
He can
but
get hot.
I think the defense can put pressure on Hogan.
Here's the problem, though, with the defense putting pressure on Hogan. They haven't put pressure on the quarterback. I believe they've had two sacks, right? Is that what it is?
Against Arkansas.
Two sacks against Arkansas State, and they had none against Idaho.
They had one. Sua had one. So.
Oh,
against
okay.
Idaho, right?
Okay.
So it's one and one. It's two total throughout the season.
But the Idaho game is kind of skewed because Idaho, their whole offense is about getting rid of the ball real quickly.
Right.
So there, it's more important to kind of look about the pressure that they've been able to get. And the D-line has done a great job. They haven't done look at Delvon Simmons in the last game. He literally just bull rushed his way through the line every single play. He wasn't even trying to do anything stylish or anything cute. He was just literally picking up his guy and just throwing him back. So when you're able to do that, and
well, that's what you get with Idaho too.
Yeah,
right.
And Greg Townsend, when I talked to him, he mentioned that he specifically said that I asked him. Only two sacks. Why is that the case? Like, why haven't you guys been able to get more pressure on the quarterbacks? And he said, I don't know. Like, we're working hard at it, but the teams that we're playing, they get the ball out quick. That's their MO. So with Stanford, I don't think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll be another thing to look out for, you know, to see how much pressure the defensive line is getting on Hogan and how much sacks, or if any, they produce. So that's going to be a big factor as well.
Yeah, I think
they're able to do that, I think they're going to hold down the Stanford offense because they're not, like I said, they're not that dynamic.
Yeah, like you said, I think if you put pressure on Hogan and force him to throw the ball long, I think you'll get success there.
Right, because they don't have that deep threat that they had last year with Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
So definitely. All right, so I think I'm going to go with a score of 31-10. And I just feel like USC might have a tough time at first setting the rhythm, but once they get into it and convert a couple of third downs, convert a couple of touchdowns in the red zone, they'll get going and eventually pull away. And I don't think Stanford's offense can put up as many points if the defense is playing as well as it's been the past two games.
Well, if we can transition to a little
yes, that's right.
Some other USC sports.
Yes, just so because we're just talking about all different USC sports here, not just USC
football.
Exactly.
So our listeners do know that we go beyond football.
It's not just
beyond
football here.
The Coliseum.
Exactly.
Transitioning, what would you like to talk? I mean, I think in women's volleyball
right
has been
now
very
in fall,
impressive.
Because football is such a big part of the sports scene around here.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, yeah. There's only a few sports really going on right now. And you've got women's soccer and you got women's volleyball and you got men's water polo. Women's soccer started their season way back before school started. They went out to North Carolina, played Duke and North Carolina, which are some of the toughest opponents in women's soccer. They're kind of like the big time programs in women's college soccer. And they lost to both of them. Then they went off trying to play Florida State, who's the number one team in the country and at the time. And they lost to them as well. And I think that's kind of showing what Coach Kidani McAlpine, he's really trying to play these tougher opponents because the team is getting better and better each year. I believe like last year they were ranked 11th in the Pac-12 coming into the season. And this season they're ranked third.
Yeah, he's setting the bar
exactly
that high.
Yeah, that's how they're going to improve, playing those kind of opponents, those tough opponents. And then they came back home. They played against Long Beach State and USD, and they won one of those games. The other game was a double overtime draw, and suddenly they could not get a goal against Long Beach State. And after that, you know, they have some really key players coming in. You have a returning player like Kayla Mills, who's a great defender, who can also score on the wing. And then you have a new goalkeeper because Caroline Stanley, who was a senior goalkeeper last year, she graduated, and then she's playing at the NWSL right now in Seattle, and she's doing really well, so that's good for her. But they brought in a transfer goalkeeper from Auburn. Her name is Sammy Joe, and she has been doing really well for the team. What do you got, Connor?
Well, I just wanted to make a point. I think it's not necessarily, like you were talking about the Long Beach State game, it's not necessarily that they're being outplayed that led to that draw. They're just going through like this inability to put the ball in
the net.
It's ridiculous. So they outshot Long Beach State 23-5, and they just every game they've been killing their opponents.
Right.
I'm pretty sure in San Diego they outshot them in the first half by like 10 shots. To be able to put up 13 shots and a half, like your offense is productive.
Right.
They're just not able to finish.
Yeah, either putting the shots, they're not on frame or they're getting saved, because I think that was a trend that happened last year as well. They really played above their expected level, but they could have gotten even more wins had they put the ball in the net more often. And I think that's something they're continuing to work on as the season progresses and as they go into Pac-12 play, because that's going to be where really the contending teams come in. Like you got UCLA, who's one of the top teams in the country as well, and Stanford's really good. So the Pac-12 women's soccer is loaded. So, I mean, if they can stand up against that competition, they can go back into the tournament and, you know, make a run.
And working on that, the putting the ball in the net, Coach Kidani, you'd mentioned that they were about to go on the road trip. Kidani scheduled a practice last night that was solely for shooting purposes. Like, they just lined up on the outside and they were booting the ball in the net.
And that says a lot about him, because he really has come in here and, like, changed the culture of women's soccer. Like, I remember from last year, the thing he kept harping on was, we're trying to get this program back into a national championship. And I really think he thinks that's realistic in the near future. And the way he's doing it, the way he's running the program, the way he's getting these recruiting these players, and the way he's getting them to putting them up against really good teams, I think that's definitely going to turn out to be a good thing in the long run for the program.
Also, just a little tidbit, Kayla Mills earned Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week this week.
There you go. And speaking of Pac-12 Players of the Week, in volleyball, we have somebody who is really just tearing through the Pac-12 Player of the Week awards. Connor, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Of course. You got Sam Bricia, who the seniors really just coming into her own this year. She's had to deal with a lot of different roster moves, a lot of young faces in the lineup. After Ebony Nabewu left, she transferred this year. She was one of the best players in the country. So Sam has really had to step up and really perform. She was just the second person, in conference history to win the Player of the Week honors 3 times in a row. So she's just been filthy and led them to this 29 consecutive set streak.
That's insane.
Yeah. 9 straight sweeps.
I mean, my question about that, though, is that kind of telling about how good they really are, or is that partly because of the opponents haven't been that great so far?
Well, they've gotten wins over 3 ranked opponents so far.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I talked to Coach McKaylee after one of their games this weekend during the USC Classic, and he talked about how he was sort of surprised, actually. Like, he didn't really expect this young team to be able to make this big of an impact right away, because he thought that there would be some hiccups. He acknowledged that he wasn't playing the toughest opponents yet. He wasn't playing the Stanfords of the like. But he really was impressed, and just the work ethic that they've all been putting in, and the mentality that even though they are rotating in 6 or 7 freshmen, it's the fact that they're always coming in thinking that they're going to beat their opponent.
Right. Yeah, no, that's definitely the right mindset to have. And I mean, they'll start Pac-12 play later this month. They're out in Oklahoma this week against playing Oklahoma and Maryland. And then once they come back, they kick off their Pac-12 play against UCLA. So that is going to be
UCLA
a thing to watch
at UCLA. Stanford.
Yeah. So I guess that'll be when we'll really see if this streak, this unreal streak that they started off the season with, if we see that'll be when we see if this is for real. So now I think that's it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're done for this week.
First podcast in the book.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening.
If anybody listened to this far. We'll be back probably next week sometime.
Yeah,
definitely.
Talk about what happened at Stanford.
And ASU.
And then ASU.
Yeah,
that's
going
to be fun. The first
huge
away game.
Game
of the season.
First away game. Although, I can't wait to preview that game.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank you very much for listening.